You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Keeping Up with the Kardashians news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jackie Moran, and welcome to a very special Kardashians After Show. I have Mari Fagel joining me. Thanks, Mari, for joining me on a special night this week.
I know. Not only was the show extra long, we had another half hour, so a whole hour-long episode, but we had a couple days to mill it over and regroup after your power outage.
Yes, for everybody listening, I just need to fill you in. I was out on Long Island, New York, celebrating my birthday with my family. And as you know, Hurricane Irene swept in, and it wasn't that bad, but the power situation was very bad. We actually just got power today, and the first thing I did was I got on iTunes and watched the supersized episode of The Kardashians. And by the way, guys, you can download our shows on iTunes as well, as Stitcher, Ustream, and all that good stuff. But I was so excited for the extra footage and having the few days to think about it and talk about it with you, Mari. So let's, and by the way, in news and gossip, we're going to talk about the whirlwind honeymoon, pregnancy rumors. There's so much to talk about, so we have to jump, I think we need to jump right into it. Last week, we had just started getting to know Chris, and here he is this episode for a full hour, lots of action with Chris. I think he kind of dominated the show. What were your thoughts? I know we were not fond of him last week, Mari. Are you sticking to that judgment, or have you changed your mind about Chris?
You know what? I think he's starting to grow on me because I thought that he wasn't genuine, but I don't know. He's kind of like a kid, and him playing around so much didn't so much bother me. I didn't think he was, like, as much of a douchebag as I thought last week. I think he just kind of likes to play around. I kind of like that he grounds her and that he says, you know, don't be materialistic. Like, oh, I like you without makeup. You know, I kind of like that he grounds her, and he's starting to grow on me, and I'm starting to like him better.
I have to say, I'm with you on that. I kind of likened it to a very up and down kind of episode for me with him. One thing I definitely learned is that he loves throwing people in the water. That's obviously something really fun for him because he threw about the whole Kardashian family in by the time the episode was over. But I was very up and down with him. I agree, Mari. I think that's the perfect way of putting it, that he's starting to grow on me, because I'm starting to see a little more the softer side of him, sort of that he's more, if anything, immature. And I like that he grounds Kim. And I really liked in the beginning we had left off on him throwing her in the water. And I liked how we followed up on that scene by hearing him say that, you know, if you own something that you would get that upset about losing, you shouldn't own it. And he said to Kim, you know, don't be so materialistic. I like that he said that. He called her out on that in a nice way, you know, not really trying to fight with her, but just trying to ground her, as you said, Mari. And I love that. And I like that he added, you know, I don't think you'd even react that way if I fell and broke my leg. So that's kind of almost like, I feel like what Bruce does with Chris. And he's kind of playing that same grounding role a little bit. And I continued to like him when there was that Chris on Chris scene where Mom Chris was started off by calling him a big boy, which was totally creepy. But then Tim left them alone. She left him out to dry. Chris was totally challenging him, and by that I mean the mom, Chris, asking him if he likes kids. He had a great answer there, saying, if they're as chill as Mason, I do. You know, complimenting Mason and kids at the same time. And then Chris goes on, the mom goes on to threaten him that if he's not nice to Kim, she's going to put him in deep water. And he handled that very well. But then he sort of flipped again by sort of being a little immature, throwing Chris and whoever was on that kayak, flipping them over, although he says he didn't mean to do that. And then, you know, he kind of, it was a little off-putting again with him not knowing about her marriage and wondering what else, you know. I think that just showed us that they don't know each other that well still.
And do you think that was genuine, that he honestly really did not know about her marriage, or do you think that was scripted?
Honestly, I really think, you know, I don't know, but in as a viewer, before you just posed that question, I did think it was genuine. Did you think it was fixed, sort of that moment?
When I saw the preview, I thought to myself, how could he not know? But then when I saw it, I thought, maybe he really doesn't know. But then he was like, what else do I not know? And I was like, oh, my God, are we about to go to a clip of him finding out about her sex tape? Because, like, everyone knows about that. And so, like, I don't know. I find it kind of hard to believe that he doesn't know. But, I mean, maybe he really doesn't. Maybe he really didn't know.
I kind of like that you just said that about the sex tape, because I think I'd be more upset if he was questioning the sex tape. At least it was the marriage thing, which I don't think was as big as the sex tape. Then I'd be really scared. But I don't know. I think I genuinely believe that there. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Like, that doesn't make anybody a bad person for not knowing. It's just off-putting that we just saw this wedding playing out, and here they are in the episodes, not even knowing each other's history. So that just freaks me out a little bit as far as how well they know each other. But it didn't make me dislike him, so to speak, you know? Do you agree on that?
And it also makes me wonder, maybe that had something to do with him being so quick to jump the gun on wanting to marry her. Like, I don't know, like the last one was so quick and whirlwind. I don't know, when we saw the preview of him already asking Bruce for her hand in marriage, maybe this had something to do with it. I don't know.
You know, I think the whole thing as far as moving the relationship along is a little scripted. I think they probably care about each other. They probably feel that they're in love. But I do think that the whole relationship, as we've said in the past, Mari, is just totally being rushed for television. I don't think it's not genuine. I'm not questioning their feelings about each other. But I guess if you're a Kardashian, what do you have to lose? I mean, of course, we learned that they gained plenty from having a wedding on TV. But I guess I'm not cool with how fast they're moving in general, including, you know, finishing, topping it off with the wedding.
Yeah.
But, you know, So it goes with the Kardashians. And, you know, the last thing we left off with that off-put me a little bit again was the scene with the stingrays and Chris throwing Rob in the water. Kim, you know, jumped to defend him. I feel like she jumped in the water to make it, like, seem not so bad. But I was not cool with that. I'm not a huge Rob fan, so if anybody could have been thrown in, it was definitely Rob was the person for me. But I don't know. I think I'm going to chalk it up to more immaturity than anything else, and he probably didn't know how to act. I mean, they're on TV, but it still was his first family vacation and meeting these people, and they're famous and huge, and he's being filmed. So I'm going to chalk it up to him just probably not really knowing how to act, so to speak. But he seems a little bold for me still. Kind of like coming off of last week, too.
No, but, you know, when Rob and Courtney were talking about him, I think they were right. He kind of, he wants to fit in and, like, they're a fun family, he wants to have fun. He already seems like the kind of guy, he's kind of, like, a little immature, fun, kidding around kind of guy. And he's also, he's like a lot bigger and a basketball player, so he can handle a lot more. So sometimes he's almost kind of like I have a really big dog, like a big poodle, my family dog. And sometimes he doesn't realize how big he is when he plays with the little dogs. Like, he doesn't realize his size and that he's too strong for them. It's almost like that, which he doesn't realize that maybe, like, Tim... Like, to him, jumping in the water from, like, 20 feet is not a big deal. But, like, you know what I mean? I don't know if that was a good analogy there.
I love that analogy, Mari. I was actually laughing, if you could hear me. That's actually a great one, and it makes me sort of, I can totally picture that. Now that you said that, I totally get what you're saying, and I do agree, but I'm just a little concerned coming off of last week. Like, if we hadn't seen him last week, and I'm, of course, this probably can be chalked up to editing, totally, but he was made to look really bad last week. And so this week, it was almost like they wanted everybody to come around, and so they edited it in his favor. But there were still moments of, like, last week lingering for me where I'm just still skeptical, but definitely feeling better than last week's episode, that's for sure. And I have a feeling that editing played a role in that. Do you agree? I mean, we talk about this all the time, but I can't imagine that that was not very strongly edited to go from such
a... Yeah, but editing, sometimes it only goes so far. Like, last week, those douchey comments came out of his mouth. Maybe it wasn't as, like, we're seeing one after the other, a couple minutes in between, when it probably happened over a several-hour period, but those douchey comments still came out of his mouth. And, like, with his behavior, like, editing can only go so far, and we'll talk about this with Scott, because editing can only go so far in that they edit it to seem like he is having an alcohol problem and going back in a downward spiral, but I have to say, I don't think I see it. And so your behavior speaks for itself, and editing can only go so far. So I don't think editing can make him that much more or less douchey. I thought that, you know, I'm starting to like the guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And I definitely, now that you brought it up, want to get into Scott and Rob and the so-called, I'm going to put it in quotes, drinking drama. And you started me off there. Did it, was it a downward spiral, or was it made to look that way? And obviously you started to share your thoughts there. I personally think that I was back and forth, and I feel bad for both Courtney and Scott at times throughout this whole episode, because Scott started off by telling Courtney about Vegas, which he came clean. He did it very, you know, he didn't lie. He was clean about it. I liked him for that. I like that Courtney doesn't want to be controlling, but yet I totally feel her pain that she doesn't want him to have come this far for nothing. And I think Courtney has every right to be worried, and not that she doesn't trust him, but and when you have an alcohol problem, and I'm not sure how deep his problem goes, you can say out loud, like Scott said, I will never let it get back to that place. But when you have a problem, you can't always control yourself. So I really feel for Courtney here. I did feel for Scott that I trust him, and I do like him even through this whole episode. I feel like he's thinks he has a handle on it. I'm just worried that he's going to lose his handle, because that's what happens when you have a problem. Who I didn't like through this episode was Rob, because first off, he's causing all of this drama with Scott out of nowhere. And I think, I don't know about you, but to me, it was all Rob pushing Scott more than Scott pushing Rob at the dinner, on the boat, telling him he looked like a waiter, he should go home, you're a douchebag, like all these things to Scott. Then they make up and have their bromance, right? And Rob's like promoting the drinking, knowing how his sister probably feels about it. If that were my brother with my boyfriend, I know how mad I'd be at my brother, you know, in this case, Rob. And Scott, yes, he does start drinking again. They have their bromance, which was nice, but I just wish it didn't have to involve the drinking, and I wish Rob wouldn't have promoted that. So honestly, I actually think Scott's okay right now. I'm worried he's going to get worse, and I'm annoyed with Rob here because I think he did all the wrong things. What do you think,
First
Mari?
Of all, I'm annoyed with the producers and the editing because, yes, Scott may lose his grip and may start going down a bad path and not being able to handle it, but it hasn't happened yet. And twice so far this season, twice, have they edited it and edited the previews and the trailers to make me think that he has entered his downward spiral. First in Vegas, the previews are like, oh my God, he's drunk in Vegas again. He had like one or two drinks, called Courtney, was at an event where he was being paid. He was fine. Then, preview for this week's episode. He's drunk, back in his downward spiral. He had a couple of beers with Rob. He was having fun. He was fine. Like, nothing happened. And so, yes, maybe in the future, and I hope not, he seems to be handling it all right. And I know technically when you really are an alcoholic, you're not supposed to ever have even a single drink. But I'm not sure if he ever, like, really was an alcoholic per se or just had a lot of partying issues and things like that. So I just think that I expected way more of a downward spiral, and I haven't seen that. Second of all, I don't think Rob was promoting it, because Rob even said, like, hey, like, cool it with the beer. Or he said, you don't need to get one. Just because I'm drinking, you don't need to. So I definitely think I don't agree with you. Rob was not promoting it. And then in terms of Rob and Scott, I tweeted this. I was like, why does Rob have to be such a hater? Like, I was so happy, though, to see them back together again, because that's, like, one of my favorite bromances. And Jesse knows that on Real World Vegas, Mike and Leroy were my favorite bromance. But for Kardashians, the Rob-Scott bromance, I loved it. They were so funny together. And so I was thinking the whole beginning of this episode, ugh, why is Rob being such a hater when Scott's so funny? I love his one-liners. Like, I love when they were making the hand motion on the boat, and he was like, and it looks like jacking off. He was like, oh, we know that motion well. And then when they were talking about Kim's crying, and then he was like, yeah, I thought at least it would take a few days for him to make her cry, you know? So I just think he's so funny. And I didn't like Rob being a hater, but when they were back together again and, like, bicycling, and I was laughing in hysterics when Rob got in the back and totally, like, flipped Scott upward because Rob weighs so much more. I mean, it's just, I'm happy to see those antics and to see them back together again. And I don't think that Scott having a couple drinks just to relax is that big of a deal, and I think they keep making it a big deal. But I will say one more thing. What I do think is a big deal, the only thing that is, to me, a legitimate concern, is his relationship with Courtney, because at the very end of the episode, he said she was, like, ignoring him and playing with the baby, and he said, see, like this, like, there's definitely something wrong with their relationship, because they always seem, like, happy and, like, they're getting along, but there's all these little red flags, like the fact that when they're at home, he doesn't sleep in the bed with her, you know, I don't know, maybe Chris Humphries was right about the PDA. I don't know. There's something going on in that relationship that they seem so good, but I don't think they are.
Yeah, I definitely, we uncovered a lot about, I mean, for an episode that was supposed to be all about getting to know Chris, it was even titled that. I feel like it was dominated by Scott, Rob, Courtney, you know, everybody on this little trio, because you're right, I love the bromance. No matter what, I love the bromance. The scene with the bicycle, you're right, was hysterical. And, you know, with Rob getting on the back, now that's probably why he's saying that he wants to do Dancing with the Stars to lose weight, because moments like that. But that was hysterical. And, you know, I don't know. Rob gets me, I feel like, and we're going to see it, we'll talk about it in predictions, I feel like he's hot and cold. Like, he'll do sort of like low-life stupid things, but then he's kind of sweet and comes in with these cute, you know, like sort of male, you know, like even keel comments that make me like him. But if anything, Rob goes back and forth for me. But you're right. As far as the relationship with Scott and Courtney, we're seeing little fleeting moments of, you know, like, I think what happens with a lot of couples when they have a newborn and or start having children, it like starts to affect the relationship. I know, you know, when I got my puppy, people were starting to say, like, you know, pay attention to your boyfriend. I guess this is just a natural thing that I'm told happens, is, you know, the kid kind of gets in the way, and Mason is so freaking adorable that I feel like he can't get in the way of anything. I know, but there definitely do seem to be some issues there. And you're right, Mari, when you say that he did just have a couple of beers, nothing got out of hand. But my thing is, I don't know, as you said, the depth of his problem, but he seems to be playing with fire to me. And you're right, it may be the fault of the editors, but they're doing a good job at making me scared, because I really feel like Courtney is on a good page with him, but it's like just something's about to fall through, whether it's drinking related or the, you know, distance between them. Whatever is going on, obviously we left off with them two sort of like saying, like, you wonder why I don't, you know, why I go hang out with other people. Definitely, you're right. Something's going to blow up, whether it even blows up on the cameras or not. There's definitely issues there between Courtney not being able to trust him, him playing with fire, in my opinion, and having a young child together. It's tough. And I think out of any relationship, they have the toughest, even though they're not married, they have the toughest relationship right now as far as the stage that they're at. So I really feel for Courtney, though. How do you feel as far as where Courtney's concerned in all of this?
I don't know. I know that Courtney's concerned about his drinking again, but he's not really doing anything that wrong. And sometimes he's really sweet and attentive to her, and she kind of tunes him out. I don't know. I really like Courtney because I think she's really laid back compared to everyone and, like, very cool. Her consummate phrase always is, I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm just over it. Like, all the time. But I don't know. I like her, but I want to root for them, and I hope that they do okay, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're left wondering, and I think her key line is, I can't live my life controlling him, and she set her boundaries, and I think she's just worried about having to sort of take a stand if he doesn't stay within the boundaries, and I think she has every right to set boundaries coming from his past. And I've been liking Scott, as we've been saying, Mari, so I really hope that, you know, nothing too bad happens to them, because at the least of it, Mason is so cute. Now that we've seen him on TV, I'm so attached because of him now. So I'm rooting for them. I'm with you on that. So
yeah.
Now the one last thing that we have to talk about with this supersized episode here was this ridiculous ongoing theme from last week's episode about Chris and her body issues and the whole renewing of the vows and the uncomfortable with my body thing and totally being dramatic, thinking people were calling her a fat Elvis and a tanker, not taking her sarong off, not wanting to renew her vows when Bruce is doing something nice for her. The cheesy flashback of her when she was younger, her crying. I mean, it's just, to me, was so ridiculous. I know you weren't a fan of this storyline last week. I'm guessing you're still not a fan. What did you think, Mari?
I'm still not a fan of the storyline. I think it's way too overproduced. I will say I was happy to see that it wasn't storyline A and storyline B like it always is, because that gets a little redundant and annoying. At least it had more depth to it, and like, it didn't seem so overproduced. It was because they were on vacation, and it was just like things were happening as they went on. But I still think the one overproduced segment was the thing about Chris's weight. And when she was crying, I thought, okay, maybe this is legitimate. And she probably does have some legitimate issues, because it was, I thought, pretty interesting to see her hot bod, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, because she really had a great body and was a hot woman. And so it was interesting seeing that, and I can see she probably does have some legitimate insecurities. But she takes those insecurities and blows them up into, like, a drawn-out storyline that was just a little too much for me.
You know, I think the thing is you're right. Like, her looking great when she was younger, that you do see that. You do see she doesn't look like that anymore. But the thing is a lot of women probably deal with that and can relate to that. But my thing is, you're on national television and you're worried about going out on a beach in front of maybe 20 people when there's like millions of people watching you right now filming. So I just can't buy the sort of things that she was saying as far as not wanting the attention on her, and she doesn't like that kind of attention, and she's insecure about her body and all that stuff, because I feel like you're putting yourself out there in the most, intimate form in your life, and you sign up for that, and you're doing that to your whole family. So I feel like if there's anybody I can't buy this storyline from, it's her. And yet a lot of women do struggle with issues like this, but I just can't buy it from her because of the position she puts herself in as far as what she's doing for her, you know, choice of lifestyle and putting herself out there.
Yeah, I mean, it also was a little ridiculous that she was like, oh, I don't want any pictures taken of me. You're on a reality show and you're being filmed. So even if there's no pictures or, like, please don't blog about me, like, you're being filmed.
Right, like, how many more people can see it than the millions of people that are watching you right now saying this on television? It's just, like, too ridiculous for me. I do feel for her in the way that you're right. All women, I think, even if you are the most famous woman in the world, maybe, you can have body issues. But it's just like, I don't know, she just doesn't capture me. And then at the end she says, well, rather than like saying, okay, Bruce was so cute during this, by the way, I think, and, you know, trying to do the vows thing, which I thought was cute, and then going in to talk to her and, you know, saying he doesn't want to push her and offering to help her work out when they get back to L.A. Like, I thought that was all so, so cute, but Chris comes back with, well, if I want a nip or a tuck, you can be there to hold my hand. Like, that's just not the message I want to hear from her. She should have taken Bruce up on that offer and put some work into it rather than sit there and be upset about it. I didn't like her answer there, so it just sealed the deal for me on this whole storyline. I don't know. Did you catch that, Mari?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Kris Kardashian takes any slight emotion she has and just exploits it into a storyline.
Of course. We should know better by now, but anyway, I was much more interested in the guys this week, and from Scott to Bruce to Chris, I feel like there was so much to go around, and I can't wait to see more. And we have a lot of news and gossip to get to, including whirlwind honeymoon, pregnancy rumors, leaking of Kim Kardashian's video. So I don't know about you, Mari, but are you ready to get into all that good stuff?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so let's go to a quick commercial and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
It's television and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on. AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, well, Kim Kardashian's mom, Kris Jenner, is set to guest host on The Talk this coming month. Kim's manager mother has clinched 2 hosting gigs on U.S. talk shows. Get that, 2, guys. So more Kris Jenner. She will be filling in for Sharon Osbourne on CBS's chat show The Talk in September, and she will keep the couch warm for 2 weeks while Sharon leaves to spend time with her husband, Ozzy. But she will not be a permanent fixture on the show, so they say at this point. But wait, there's more. She will also be filling in for Katie Couric on the Today Show on NBC in October, actually. So what do you think of Kris Jenner sort of posting all over the airwaves?
Katie Couric's not on the Today Show anymore. Who is she filling in for on the Today Show? Is she just hosting, like, the fourth hour, or what?
Or maybe it's... Oh, I don't even know why it says Katie Couric.
You mean
but...
Kathy Lee Gifford or Hoda Kotb? I bet you she's doing the fourth hour.
Yeah, probably. because I know Kathy Lee or Hoda, one of them's kind of always hopping out. So, yeah, I don't know why it says Katie Kirk, but she's kind of like, I feel like she's sort of setting her feet to get a hosting gig here. What do you think of that?
Maybe. I mean, maybe she's finally like kind of trying to branch on her own and not depend upon her daughters for her own celebrity. We kind of saw this when she did the ad for her bladder control. But I'm excited to see her on The Talk. That's more like a women discussing issues. I don't know about the Today Show. I'm excited to see her on The Talk, though. I always find her very funny, and I do like her. Even though sometimes I think she exploits things, I think she's very smart, and I like her, and I think she's entertaining, and so good for her. I'll definitely watch.
Yeah, I think you can't deny that she's a good businesswoman, and she's smart and sharp, and I do think you're right. She's bold, and that'll bode well for her on these segments, so we'll watch and see. But on to the good stuff. Inside Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries' sexy secret honeymoon, as Us Weekly called it, they had an issue out today with exclusive photos and details from Kim Kardashian's honeymoon with brand new hubby Chris Humphries. They were seen on Italy's Amalfi Coast last week after tying the knot. They mostly kept to themselves. They were at a $3,300 per night Romeo and Juliet chalet at the five-star hotel Santa Caterina, which I was just in Amalfi, and I believe I passed that hotel, so now I'm like totally picturing it. They emerged for alfresco meals and lots of PDA by the pool. It was an unexpected vacation for Kim, who showed off her world-famous bikini bod. But speaking of that bikini bod, apparently, and DJ Jesse is on hand in case I don't get this perfectly right, she was caught buying pregnancy tests while on her honeymoon, and she couldn't ask for them, apparently, so she had to get somebody else to ask for them. So now there's rumors, and actually a source was quoted to say that Kim's the kind of bride who'd be thrilled if she'd gotten pregnant on her honeymoon. So already, the honeymoon was a big whirlwind, and now pregnancy rumors are swirling as well. You think there's something going there, Mari?
I seriously hope not, and I seriously doubt that because Kim is very much about her career, and her career is her looks, and she's busy, and I just don't think that's going to happen yet.
Well, apparently there was another slip as she returned for the VMAs without her hubby, by the way. Apparently she was there to promote her new music video, which AfterBuzz TV has on their Facebook page. You guys have to check this out. I'm going to quote DJ Jesse. He said, "Ass shot for days. That's all we have to say." So you have to check out. They leaked this video of Kim Kardashian.
And check out. We posted it on the AfterBuzz TV Facebook page as well, so you can check it out there. But it is ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I mean, I thought the song was bad, but now the video makes it even worse, right, Mari?
I mean, the video is the most sexed up thing, and it's like just ass shots and lip shots, and it's insane. It's like so not tasteful. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
All right, so DJ Jesse wants to step in on this little conversation here.
Come on, DJ,
yes,
give us the goods.
All right, so here we go. I mean, personally, I know she's been working on this music career for a while. She went to last year's VMAs, and she also went to the Grammys this year with her producer, The Dream, to promote that she's getting into singing. So she's been working on videos and music within the past year. Now, with that, if you're trying to get away, you know, Kris Jenner, I know she said, the reason I did the whole show was to get away from the whole sex tape thing. If that's the case, why is your music, I mean, you're already beautiful. Yeah, you can have a music video with you shaking your ass, that's fine, but I mean, this is like, we can see the gap. I mean, literally, like, it's a little too much, Kim, and, you know, with the lips and you're literally, like, soaking wet in it. I mean, every guy's gonna want to see this video, but I'm just saying, like, I thought you wanted to get away from that image. And you just got married, so now here's where I'm I'm going to throw the gossip out. My belief. And maybe it's more for predictions, but I believe she is pregnant. And I believe that's why this video is leaking right now. She just got married. That's not sexy to men. Men don't find a married woman sexy because now she's unavailable. Not only that, but now pregnancy rumors are coming out. If she is pregnant, she's not going to outshine Beyonce's pregnancy rumor. No one cares if Kim Kardashian's pregnant right now over Beyonce. So Beyonce gets that shine right now. So she's going to hold it back a little bit, let the rumors swirl, release this video so Kim Kardashian's sex, you know, quota goes back up on the ratings. And she can afford to be pregnant, release the CD, and release whatever videos she's been recording for it. And they're probably going to all be these overly sexualized videos to keep in your mind that Kim Kardashian is a sex bomb. She has the baby, gets back down to shape, and starts getting out there back again in the scene. Just my personal thought from what I've seen in the music industry period. Yeah, and I just felt like she looked a little different body-wise at the VMAs. Not that she was bigger or anything like that, just a little different.
And didn't you say, Jesse, that you had a slip? She had a slip of the tongue as well?
So here's the... I'm reading... Hold on, let me pull it up. So at the
VMAs... That's a very good theory, by the way.
At the VMAs, she was interviewed by... I don't see who it was by. But they questioned her about the pregnancy test. And when saying that, she said, "I just got married, but you never know. I would love to start a child. If it wasn't for the fame, I would have done this, I mean that, already."
Ooh.
So, done this? What is this? What does this, if you're being questioned about pregnancy, what does this entail? Could have been a slip of the tongue, and she just slipped it out there. Could have been planned to keep the pregnancy rumors questionable. Because why was she there by herself? You know, she usually shows up with the past two music events she's been to. She showed up with her producer. You just got married. Maybe she has something with, who did she sell her wedding pictures to that she can't be out at?
People.
Maybe she can't be out at an event yet and get pictures taken between the two of them so soon. I don't know what the deal is with that, but it was just very weird she was there by herself. And I don't know, what were your thoughts as far as what she was wearing to the event? I've seen Kim look stunning and she looked beautiful, but it wasn't really like wham bam. It kind of looked a little, I don't know what I'm trying to think to call it.
Well, I just
don't know, that was like her normal look, the slick back hair, the like silver glittery, I don't know.
I think it was her fit, and that's why I think pregnancy swirlers or rumors are swirling. Because it was ill-fitting. I mean, even the sexiest, best body, you could be so super skinny, but if your dress doesn't fit right, you can be 5 pounds, 150 pounds, 300 pounds. It's all about the fit.
Right.
And I think it didn't fit well, and that's why it's feeding the fire here. And I think, Jesse, I think you have a very good theory, and I'd like to see if this plays out. You'll have uncovered it here on AfterBuzz.
I would love to see
it. I don't know. I still really don't think she's pregnant. I would be really, really surprised if she was. I really would.
Well, apparently E! News reported that the reason that Chris wasn't there was because he was in Minnesota packing for their move to New York. That's kind of a weak excuse in my opinion, but that was what E! News put out there. So I guess we'll have to see. But speaking of the New York guys... I'm very excited.
We'll see. We'll be on bump watch duty for. The next couple weeks.
Right, and get this though, I'm going to be very close to Kim to be able to do that because they touched down in the Big Apple on Monday night. Courtney and Kim and Mason in tow. Kim and Chris are tonight actually the guests of honor at a lavish feast at Capital in New York City being thrown by Colin Cowie. And they are set to film their second season of Courtney and Kim Take New York, and they'll be living in luxury at the Gansevoort Park Avenue Hotel in the hotel suite, which costs $7,000 a night, according to the New York Post. And guys, I live right around the corner from that, so I can totally scope them out.
Scope it out and come back to us. I'm going to call you Scoop Moran if you come back
That's
to us
right.
with some good Kardashian scoop.
I'm requesting that the two of you guys do lunch and dinner dates for research and development around the Ganzevoort.
That's right.
To do some scooping.
I mean, I literally can just, like, look outside my window and find her. So, guys, I'm going to be on top of this, and we will definitely see if your theory pans out, Jesse. You can be sure of that.
Whoa.
So that is all, guys, for your news and gossip for this week. I think that was pretty juicy, don't you guys think? And now, on to predictions.
Now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
So, Mari, we talked about this. Obviously, Chris already going to Bruce and asking to marry Kim. I feel like it like came up on us so quickly. And Rob and Kim seem to go at it as well, sort of him calling her a whore. We've seen that coming for a couple of weeks now, but it's finally going to play out. What are your predictions for next week?
I don't know. I think that Rob does need to be put in his place. Sometimes he can be a little bit of a douche, and he does kind of live off his family. I don't think it's right that he's living with Chloe Lamar. I don't think it's right he just kind of uses his name to get tables at clubs and party and not actually get a real job or do anything. He's kind of living off his sisters. So he should be put in his place. I like Rob. I think he's cool and he's chill and I like him, but I think he needs to be put in his place a little bit. And then as far as Chris, we knew this was coming. I didn't think it was going to come so soon, but we knew this was coming. So I'm curious to see Bruce's reaction.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I can't believe, like we said, this is all a whirlwind. So it continues next week, and I can't wait. Hopefully my power will stay on for good now. So I will be scoping Kim out at the Ganzevoort. Mari, I hope you'll join me. And big thanks to DJ Jesse for giving us the scoop this week. And we'll be back next week with more Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Thank you, Mari. Thank you, DJ Jesse. And we'll see you next
week. Thank you, and I'll meet you at the Ganzevoort in a couple days.
That's right. I'll see you at the Ganzevoort.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.